Good morning. Welcome to the ASPPH-sponsored Academic Public Health Caucus titled Excellence in Practice-Based Teaching for Public Health. My name is Emily Burke, and I am the Manager of Data Analytics at the Association of Schools and Programs of Public Health, and I will be your moderator today. First, I will introduce our speakers. They will speak, and then following the presentations, we will do a question and answer session. I would like to remind you that APHA does offer continuing education credits for most sessions, and these sessions qualify for 2 certified in public health credits. And one other reminder, please log into the APHA website and register for the Academic Public Health Caucus if you have not already. Join our caucus. So let me introduce our speakers. Here we have Gauri Gupti. Gauri Gupti is an assistant professor in the Department of Health, Law, Policy, and Management at the School of Public Health at Boston University. She has expertise in implementing quality improvement processes through efficient project management and strategic alignment in healthcare, both national and international. She has also been engaged in developing learner-centered and activity-driven curricula for graduate-level courses focusing on operations management, strategy management, and lean management in healthcare. Following Dr. Gupti, we have Maureen Dobbins. Maureen Dobbins is the scientific director of the National Collaborating Center for Methods and Tools. As a professor in the School of Nursing at McMaster University, her research focuses on knowledge translation among public health decision makers in Canada, including identified needs, barriers, and facilitators affecting evidence use and effective KT strategies. In addition to her role with NCCMT, she is also the scientific director of health evidence at healthevidence.org. Marion Levy, Dr. Marion Levy serves as Assistant Dean of Students in Public Health Practice in the School of Public Health at the University of Memphis. A registered dietitian and fellow of the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, she serves on the editorial board of the Journal of Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. Dr. Levy is past president of the Tennessee Public Health Association and currently sits on the Governing Council of the American Public Health Association. And our final speaker, Jessica Boyer, is the Assistant Director of Assessment and Accreditation at the Temple University College of Public Health, and she received her MSW and MPH from Temple. And I will let Jessica introduce herself a little further because she is standing in for her colleague. Without much further ado.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for coming in at 8:30. As some of you saw, this is field-based learning, so we come in for our presentations and we have technical glitches, and you'll see that my presentation has slides gone wacky, but that's reality, and that's something we've been trying to promote at Boston University School of Public Health, that reality is different, and we'll take you through it in a little bit. J.D. Greese is the first author. I do have to say that she just delivered a baby 2 weeks ago, so I am stepping in for her. Though we work very closely together, so I should be able to tell you the story pretty efficiently. Okay, so agenda is very simple. We want to talk about field-based courses or practice-based courses, what they are, how do we teach, how do we evaluate them, do you think they really help, what are some of the challenges, and some recommendations for those who are considering it. And so the big question that always comes up is, we're hearing these words about flipped classrooms, we don't want to be the sage on the stage, we don't want to stand in the lecture and give a lecture like I'm giving, or we want to make them more engaged with us, so we're using practice-based courses, field-based courses, project-based courses, learner-centered programs, team-based learning. Oh my God, the words just go on. If we pile them together, they probably mean practice-based learning. That's what we're thinking. And of course, we're hanging on to Bloom's taxonomy from 1956. It's amazing that we've had this conversation for more than 60 years, and we're still having the conversation, which means there is some momentum, but I think it's not kick-started the way it should. And it really means a lot to public health to be in the field. So why are we doing this? lots of reasons, right? I'm just listing a few. It is so easy in class to learn process mapping. Give them 5 minutes of tools and process mapping is done. Take them out in the field, it takes 2 months to even get one process map. That's one piece. The other piece is we're getting younger students. BUSPH has observed a lot of young students coming into the classroom. Once upon a time, we were only part-time and part-time students. And now we have almost 70% who are coming straight out of the undergrad. Economy's changed everything. You talk about a mission and vision statement and they're like, huh? It seems to be only existing in the thin air. We want to make it real. The other piece is experience counts. All of them are using these projects to put them on their resumes, use them as presentations when they go for job interviews, look for practicums, look for internships. There's no Robinson Crusoe. Remember, he also had Man Friday with him. Students do not know that working in teams is the reality of life. And so these projects actually put them in that mode. And of course, as professors, we're not getting younger. We have to keep up with the world. So it's actually a good learning experience for the faculty too. Apart from Bloom's taxonomy, there are many theories, right? There's the Coles experiential learning theory, there's the cognitive models, there's so many models that align, and they're basically telling you, take your students to the next level. Our learning objectives don't have to be understanding this, or defining this, or describing this. We really want to take the passive verbs that we're using into the next level of action verbs. We want them to analyze, create, measure, implement, reflect, comprehend. These words are the learning objectives of today. It's a conversation that we want to take them from the class to the field. We want them to really harvest what they learn, and the only way we can do it is start the conversation in class. So who benefits and why one benefits? Students, of course, as we said, there's a meta-analysis which was done in 2014. It's an excellent paper which actually looks at the benefits to students. They're getting more competencies, they're getting more skills, they're out in the business, they're learning as they go. We're hand-holding them through the class. Who's the agency, the sponsor who brings those projects in the class? They have always told us it's a win-win situation for them because they are benefiting from being engaged in real-life projects. The students are helping them keep up with the world because in the school, in the class, you're learning theories, they're learning more frameworks. The other piece is, as a faculty, we're building relationships by engaging in field-based courses. We're getting a chance to evaluate it, and we've been publishing a lot of papers, so it's research as well, right? So it's not just education. And the other piece is, of course, who benefits the most, the alumni and the school. The school actually starts getting a reputation for having students around who are more experienced, have got better outcomes on their resume than just saying, I took 12 courses and I took 42 credits. And it's more about, oh, I did these projects and these internships in 3 semesters of my schoolwork, which is amazing. And we do have to say we work very closely with career services for this. So let me take you through an example of what really happened. Okay, so remember I told you our slides are going to look wacky, and they are, which is fine. I just want to quickly take you through a slide and make sense. If I were teaching a course in spring or in fall, we really start looking for projects the semester before. We talk with sponsors, so for next spring, for the coming spring, I'm actually in conversation with sponsors were asking for projects, identifying projects, or people are reaching out to us now in advance and asking, can we get some help on some of these issues we are facing? During the classroom, of course, we are really working on preparing the students through the course, assigning them projects, working on the projects, and at the same time, there's a lot of evaluation going on to make sure that those projects make a difference in their life for the faculty, students, and the agency. So basically, as you see, all my slides are going wacky again. There are lots of pieces happening during the semester. There are communication plans, there's a lot of teamwork. We are pushing students to come together, this interprofessional competencies that are being assessed, all of that. We're trying to give them soft skills, and when we say mHealth, we're really trying to give them the content of the class. So it depends on which class you're looking at. This is an example of one class, not one actually. These are four classes that were evaluated. One was on mHealth, one was implementing programs in developing countries, the other one is strategic management in healthcare, and the third was communication strategies for public health. All these four courses have real-life projects where the sponsors and the students work with each other through the whole semester, at the same time attending didactic versions. You can see some of the deliverables. The deliverables are not only for the sponsor, but they're also for the faculty to gauge, are the students moving in the right direction? I have to say we are not very grade-based. Of course, we have to give the grade. Nobody wants to get rid of grades. But we are more about the experience of how students are doing. And honestly, the students really do well. These are some of the examples of organizations that we've teamed up with. I have to say, Massachusetts is a mecca for public health. We have the, some of, you can go in one corner and you'll see some of the top hospitals in every direction. It's amazing. We have a lot of not-for-profit community engagement centers, so we can work with them, and we also have a lot of global consulting firms. So these are some of the courses. For example, if I go deeper into the communication strategies groups, there are deliverables such as problem statements, literature review of the project that has been signed, intervention proposals, and communication plans. We are conducting ongoing consultations with the client. The students actually work around 6 to 8 hours every week with the client, either online, through phone, or face-to-face, or in the trenches. There are lots of skill-building activities which are built into the class so that we can support the students who are acting as consultants. And then finally, there's a huge presentation for the client. We also engage a lot of faculty across the school who come in for these presentations to get feedback on proposals that the students have come up with. This is another example of how many courses I teach. I teach three courses: operations management, lean management, and strategic. I usually have 41 projects running every semester. Not that I teach three every semester, I just teach one. But we do have adjunct professors. I also teach in School of Medicine, which is very interesting because then I could tie up the residents with the master's in public health students. Now this is a busy slide, but I just wanted to say that we love using models. So we're using the logic model to evaluate all these courses. I'm happy to share this with you afterwards, that how are we designing our evaluation strategy. So we're basically looking at these objectives. We want to understand, do we want to change this method? Is the method of practice-based teaching really working? Is it effective? What skills is it building? And understand, how do we evolve next as faculty? How do we work with the agency and the students? So as you can see, we used a lot of mixed methods approach. We did a lot of interviews. We collected data through surveys. We did this for the last 1.5 years, and so I think we've got some robust data with 7 classes engaged in this process. We've been looking at student outcomes. We've been using all resources. We actually have heavy monitoring in the class from people coming and studying the class and how much time is being spent on activities. We're also looking at how the instructor spends time with the students, how much is their chitter-chatter in the class. Do you really help find them talking more than the professor, which is one of our variables, and are they talking sense? collaboration outcomes. But it's amazing, we don't see much Facebook in the classroom unless they really want to engage with the client. Some of them are on their Facebook, it's amazing. We are looking, and as we look at this, this is 3 semesters of evaluation, 147 students evaluated. With the wacky slide, you can see the significance level. I would just look at the last column, which shows that we Their consultation techniques have improved, their literature review techniques have improved, this is communication plans, presentations have improved, program evaluation has increased. Leadership has been interesting because we're really working on how do we work on it. We're changing our core now, actually, at USPH, which is going to help us with the leadership piece. Public speaking has increased, and mHealth, the reason I'm presenting this is only, this is for one course. Overall, we've also seen that students have more comprehension, and students are delivering better quality of products to the client. And students in general have been excited. They have really, a lot of students we've observed through the admissions process are coming in because we have field-based courses. They're providing incredible experience. I have students from 2 and 3 years who come into my class and talk about how they're still using those projects as examples to talk about when they go for job interviews. Or within job interviews, when they go for promotion, how they still relate back to the projects that we've done in the class. The creativity is increased. I have to say, it's not on the slide, but my students who are introverts have actually got an opportunity to engage because they're so comfortable in their cohort than talking in a class where you have more students. Excuse me. What are some of the pieces that we're going to look at? As faculty, it's a challenge because you're putting in so much time. You are responsible for the consultant as much as the students, so we're working on it. The other piece is we think the field-based or practice-based courses need a different evaluation strategy than the one that's there. Educators need more support. And how do we make ourselves available to the students, to the client, balance our own work-life balance with these kind of courses, because I'm on alert. Like today morning, I actually had got an email from a sponsor saying, the student wants to meet the CEO of the hospital. Why would that be? So it's not because they want to go and evaluate the project, but they were trying to find out what's the vision of the hospital that could be built into the project. But obviously not everybody wants to share their secrets with the CEO. So I have to respond and I have to make sure the students are not reaching out to the CEO without the sponsor approving it. Client-related questions, what are we going to do with them? We want to make sure that we are giving feedback to the client, we're engaging them with them more often, though we don't want to engage so much with them that they get overburdened, develop guidelines on how we can work. Student-related, this is interesting. We do want to make sure that we have some definitive models on how we teach them to engage in teams, more leadership skills, more soft skills. So our core is changing. We have a new core, which is called Leadership and Team Building, and it's a whole semester-long core, which is going to feed into these courses. Thank you. And evaluation related, we really want to make this an ongoing process. We want to make it longitudinal over 5 and 6 and 7 years and see how the soft skills were enhanced. Is this working for both the client and the student? We also want to make this from right when they came into the BUSPH program to when they walked out and then what happened 5 years hence. We also want to make this cognizant of all the other variables that impact the students and risk-adjusted for all the methodologists to make sure we're looking at SAT scores, GRE scores, and the competencies of students. So we have a long way to travel with how we're going to make these evaluation strategies more robust. The conclusion piece is we've enjoyed this. We've learned a lot in the process as faculty. The students are evolving and learning a lot in this piece. But there are lots of challenges. It's a lot of work for the faculty. It's a lot of work for the teaching assistants. But it's also a fine balance between how do you grade these courses? Because these courses are not driven by assignments or mini exams. We have no mini exams or exams in these courses. These courses are really driven by how they engage with the sponsors, with their peers. So it's a lot of soft skills that need to be measured. However, I think we're getting there. We've been doing this for 5 years individually. Previously for 2 years, we all were doing it individually, and now we realize we have a community. So we're working together to make sure we're evaluating practice-based courses together. And at this point, I'll stop. I do know questions are going to be asked at the end. So hang on to your questions and thank you.